In the laws of Shema, and we're up to chapter 76 starting, and this is Lizoyer Mitzoya Bekrashas Krishma Beidav Sifim, that one has to be careful that there should be no feces and excrement around when he wrote the Shema. And there's 11 Sifim. Now, sometimes, you know, certain laws, he talks about various other parts, but the laws have to cover everything, you know. If you're a medical doctor, and or any scientist, you have to take every detail of the human body, the human life. You have to do it from the medical point of view. Here, from the halachic point of view, everything is important. Something you'd rather talk about connecting to God than talking about these kinds of topics. But this is halacha, so we got to know everything.
They had horses. They were out.
Yeah, and but also we'll see that animal is different than human. Human, but you need it. And especially in the olden days, like you're saying, they didn't have all the separate toilets and separate things. You know, it was a big mishmash over there. But it had to do with the being careful. Let's see with the halachas.
And this ties in with the celebration tomorrow of the Rebbe getting released from the prison.
Yeah.
Where the environment was very hard because you didn't have your own separate bathroom.
It's interesting that you say that, but one of the things that the previous Rebbe said, one of the things that people do, guards do, and especially in Russia, but they surely do that today too. They try to humiliate and they try to scare the inmates. They try to sort of cause them to
intimidate
them. So one of the things is they were giving him a very hard time. But the Rebbe made a decision. He said he ain't gonna be intimidated. He ain't gonna fall in his spirit. And he ain't gonna give in. He's gonna give in an inch. He was gonna be proud, and he's going to openly display, and he's gonna be defiant to anything that they're going to try to make him, do, especially what is against Torah. He's not gonna listen to them. So one of the conversations that he had with them, they said to him, "You know you're talking. Do you know where you, where you are? You know where you are. I mean, this isn't your study at with all the chassidim. You're now in the hands of the Gepo, the KGB." And the previous Rebbe says, "I'm here in a place which is exempt from a mezuzah, just like a bathroom, just like a beis hakiseh, in a place where there is." So he sort of gave it right back to them. In any event, and the Rebbe has a whole talk about that also. But section Aleph, Tzoya ba'ashoshis. If you have Tzoya, okay, we're not going to translate every time. Tzoya is fishes. If you have it in a clear, but it's in a container, is mutar likris kenegdoi, then you are allowed to do the Shema opposite it. Afa pishiroi su derech dafanisa, even though you can see it through its walls, lifshibitsoya tola hakosu bikisui. Because when we talk about soya, the Torah over there hinges it on being covered. Shenamar, as the Torah says, v'shafto v'chisa seyosecha. The pasuk says that you should always have a shovel amongst your tools that you carry along, so that when you sit, you should cover up your tzoya. V'arehi mechusa. So that is now in this case when it's in the container, it's closed. So therefore, over there, it's not the vision, as opposed to the erva which we learned before. Over there it says v'lo yiroa, shall not be seen, but over here the main thing is covered. So the vision of it is not what is concerned as far as tzoya goes. Siv Beis, subsection 2. Tzoya beguma, if you have a tzoya in a hole, maniach sandal agabe aguma, so you place a sandal, a shoe, a crocs on top of the hole, v'koira, and then you reach al yidei kein chashuva k'mechusa. This is through that cover, it's considered covered. Now, I'm not sure, maybe it actually means you put your foot over it. When it says maniach sandal, he's probably talking maybe the foot that he's wearing. You just cover it up with your foot or with just a regular sandal. But the condition is there should be no foul smell coming from it. As will be explained in chapter 79. That's a separate discussion about the smell. Here we're talking about just the vision, and that will be a separate discussion. So now this is actually, he's talking about with his own shoe. So we don't say that the shoe should be secondary to your foot, and that would not be considered a cover. Your foot alone would not help. If you don't have a sandal on your foot, you couldn't cover up with your foot alone. Which is underneath in a hole. That still would not make your camp holy. As the pasuk says, should cover it up. Because there is no interruption of a cover between the human body to the tzoya shebeguma. So if you put your foot over it, that wouldn't help because you're still exposed to it. Okay, not your up, but your foot is exposed to it. Part of your body is exposed to the tzoya. So over here, one can argue and say, since my shoe or my sandal is secondary to my foot, so that's not considered a cover either. But rather, the sandal is considered a cover and an interruption between the tzoya and the foot. But yet, so he says that does work. So with your shoe, it does work, even though your foot is in the shoe, and your shoe is secondary to your foot, but it works for this. However, he says, but it's still, his shoe would still be considered secondary to his foot as far as the necessary, it's necessary, you shouldn't actually be touching with your shoe the tzoya that is in the hole, you shouldn't be touching it with your shoe. For if your foot is touching the actual tzoya, yeshli is topic, then it's questionable. That would be as if you're touching it with your foot. Because the sandal is secondary and serving your foot when you're touching it. That would be considered like your foot is touching the tzoya through the sandal. Because it's your foot that is placing. How is that shoe standing there? Your foot is holding it on the tzoya. That would be considered as if you were actually touching yourself in the tzoya. So over there, that wouldn't work. And over there, your foot would be considered. So there's a question about that. Even to those that would permit, if you have tzoya on your flesh, but you're covered with your garment, Eina sandal nechshav kisui litzoya sha'olav. So the sandal isn't considered a cover to the tzoya that's upon him. So you have a baguette would be considered, but the sandal is not considered to be a cover. That would not be your camp holy. I have to see exactly why. Over here it's not so clear to me. But whenever we have a doubt of the Torah, because this is a Torah issue, because the Torah doesn't allow you to, it says beferish in the pasuk. So therefore, that would be stringent, which means you shouldn't do that. So you can't cover it in a way that you would be touching it. But if we're talking about tzoya, which is on your garments in the inside, since he is covered with his garments, that would make your camp that is holy, your camp is holy. And we don't say that the garment is secondary to your body. It's as if your body is touching the tzoya adei abeged through the garment. Because the garment isn't serving the body with this touching. That the garment is touching the tzoya. I mean, your garment is using, you're using it to cover yourself, but you're not using the garment to have that tzoya touch your body. Since there is no bad smell reaching you, he's allowed to read the Shema and to daven while wearing these garments. Nevertheless, the measure of chassidus is lachlifim b'shas atfil, to change them for the davening. As explained in Siman Tzadik Ches in Siv Dalet. I mean, I guess today, mostly we launder our clothes, especially we have somebody who runs laundromats, so we have one launder and we should wash them, always keep them clean. But I guess in the olden days it wasn't so easy to keep the clothes clean, and it wasn't so convenient. Certainly they didn't have the machine, and they didn't have it, so they'd have to go down to the river, and they'd have to stamp it with their feet. It was a whole job, so people wore a little bit more dirtier clothes, you know, and they didn't, and sometimes it looks like also they would flip the clothes, they would use them both sides. If the one side got dirty, so they put it on the inside, and then the outside was clean, and then they vice versa. I'm also assuming that their clothes wasn't as thin as we have them today. They must have had thicker clothes. They didn't make them as thin. What?
Wool.
Well, it was thicker. So, and it wasn't so see-through, so it could use no protection. So it seems like they would sometimes cover in the inside. So he's saying...
Wool was easier to come by than cotton. Cotton, you had to grow. In Europe, it's not conducive to climate, so they use the wool from the animals. Wool in the summer.
Okay, all right, we'll leave it over here.